everybody. It's your favorite part of the Who Would Win show. No, it's Ray. Anyway, Who Would Win show has a Patreon, and if you'd like to check it out, you can find it at patreon.com/whowouldwinshow. Join in if you'd like to vote for future characters, talk to the infamous boardroom, and catch videos you can only find on Patreon, like outtakes or our bonus segments, Thunderdome, and the Third Degree. You can even join for free and get a heads up on our next battle before everyone else. If that sounds like something you'd like to be a part of, just go to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow and take your place in the conversation. Now, I got a battle to go win. I'll see you Rainiacs on the other side.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The neon buses, the dust dances, and truck engines growl outside a forgotten road stop. Inside, tensions simmer hotter than the coffee pots. A machete chops through the air. A glass bottle rockets off a table like a missile. It whizzes past a man with a cocky grin and a feathery mullet, who deftly dodges and watches as the bottle shatters against the back of a man built like a battering ram. The mountain turns around, fire in his eyes, cracking his knuckles, growling low. He asks, "Who did this?" The mullet turns. "Me, Jack Burton." Tonight, pulling up in the Pork Chop Express, it's one of the luckiest men alive, Jack Burton, squaring up against the one-man wrecking crew, the Demolition Man himself, John Spartan. Big Trouble meets Hardcore Justice. Who would win?
Good evening, folks. Our guest today is stand-up comedian. He's the host of Gutting the Sacred Cow podcast, a longtime judge for the Who Would Win show, and he's got a new t-shirt line at nomumsters.com. I am talking about Kevin Goatee. Kevin, how you doing?
Sam, it's an absolute pleasure. I wish I could say the same about seeing Ray again.
I'm sorry. It is it's one of those casualties that has to happen in the in the fray of debate.
Oh, new website, same pasty Ray on the other side of the screen. Oh my God, for a man who lives in SoCal, he has the pigmentation of an albino in a microwave. I love you, Ray.
All right, Kevin, tell us, you are repping Jack Burton today. What made you choose the driver of the Pork Chop Express?
Look, Jack Burton is an American hero, and anyone who says otherwise is wrong. He's smarmy. He's cunning. He has an air of deceptibility about him. Bit of a ladies' man, I might say. A ladies' man who does not stoop to the level of trying to have his own daughter. But we'll get into that as the show progresses.
All right. Sounds good. And I got to tell you, Big Trouble in Little China is by far one of my favorite films. So,
well, you have common sense, Sam. I like you already.
Ray has a battle ahead of him. It's not time for that. Let's get into the tale of the tape. All right. It is time for the Tale of the Tape. The Tale of the Tape today is brought to you by Burger King, who wants all You Would Win fans to know that their food is made fresh and their dining experience has improved 220% since Ray got banned.
That feels a little personal.
It should. Burger King, the only fast food option with 100% no Ray guarantee. That's good. They wrote that.
It's just weird that they would advertise with us. I don't understand.
Yeah, well, that said... Here's tonight's tale of the tape. Jack Burton is a fast-talking truck driver hero from the movie Big Trouble in Little China. Jack was created by John Carpenter, played by Kurt Russell, and debuted in 1986. Meanwhile, John Spartan is a cryo-frozen super cop from the 1990s who was thawed out to catch his nemesis in the 2030s. Spartan was created by Daniel Waters, Robert Reneau, and Peter M. Lenkov for the movie Demolition Man in 1993. John Spartan was, of course, played by Sylvester Stallone. Both of our characters are known for their physicality and quick thinking. Jack Burton squared off against both Chinese gangsters as well as supernatural creatures, while John Spartan fought an enhanced criminal and his crew in a more science fiction sort of setting. One thing is for certain in this battle, and that is collateral damage. And I'm not just talking about Ray's shirts. Now that we have the basics for both of our characters, let's officially introduce you to who you will be debating tonight, Kevin. I'm contractually obligated to say that your opponent tonight was voted by Tiger Beat Magazine as someone to watch in 1995. I don't think that's even true. Anyway, welcome to the show. As always, Race to Canis. Ray,
well,
how you doing?
Hello, Sam Proof. Hello, Kevin Goatee. What a pleasure it is.
It
to
is indeed.
See me once again. I'm very excited about this battle. Last night to prepare, I watched back-to-back Demolition Man followed by Big Trouble in Little China. Mm. Now, Big Trouble in Little China, I have not watched in a long, long time.
So
it was
good.
A bit different than I remember it. But
really?
Look, I bought it on VHS tape back in the day. I have seen it quite a few times. It's just been a hot minute. I forgot how many, like, monsters there were in it. I don't know why. I remembered the Lord Raiden guys and all the gangsters. Did not remember all the hairy beasts.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's all about the hairy beasts, I believe. But I think we save that for another show or a behind-the-scenes clip there. All right. So now that we've established the basics for each character, here are the rules for who would win Masters in a minute. Here are the rules of who would win Masters in 1 minute. There will be 3 timed rounds with counterpoints allowed. 2, characters will have no prior knowledge of their opponent and no outside interference will be allowed. 3, keep the character in character. Outliers and crossovers will be given less weight. 4, battle can be won by death, knockout, battlefield removal, or incapacitation. And 5, after the battle, I will give my unofficial opinion as to who wins and why. However, I am just one voice in this. It will be up to all of you on our social media and our Patreon to make your voices heard as to who won. And those are the rules. Kevin, as our challenger, you will go first. We will put 3 minutes on the clock. Your time starts now for your point number one.
Well, this is Kevin Goatee from the old Pork Chop Express, and I'm talking to whoever's listening out there. Like I told Delvin Cox the last time I was on this show, I never win movie debates against Ray faster than I can see. It's all in the reflexes, all right? Listen, you should listen to the old Pork Chop Express on a dark and stormy night when some wild-eyed guy from Michigan challenged you to a movie cinematic debate. Will you just stare that big goofball right back in his Little Caesar's loving eye and remember what old Jack Burton always says at a time like this? Have I debated characters and beaten Ray before, Jack? Yes, sir, the check is in the mail. Let's talk about Jack Burton. And that, by the way, that is a 5-star entrance theme walk-up, guys. With all of the perfect mentionables. Jack Burton is a superior being. Why? He is an everyman who walks into Chinatown, San Francisco, and with a gun, a knife, fists, takes down not one, not two, not three, but 4 Chinese gods from the underworld, including one aforementioned Lord Raiden. Oh, by the way, he also rescues a female prison hole, rescues women from female prison. Although I do wish he did leave Kim Cattrall tied up so she could not do Sex in the City and Mannequin 2 on the Move. Jack Burton has done more in an hour and 35 minutes than John Spartan did. John Spartan had one person to catch. Jack Burton, countless. Countless. Are we going to go do this some more? Sure. Well, we really shook the pillars of heaven, didn't we, Sam Proof? Look, John Spartan, one criminal and a bunch of homeless people. Jack Burton out there just fighting a guy who can zap your head off and shock the living hell out of you in Mortal Kombat style. Is anyone also quoting John Spartan in today's society? No. I can walk out to any bar, walk out there and say, it's all in the reflexes. and a bunch of Gen X dudes at a bar will give you a knowing nod and might even buy me a drink. Jack is a master of deception. Walks into a whorehouse.
30 seconds remaining.
All right. Jack Burton is a master of deception. He infiltrates whorehouses. He infiltrates the Wing Kong. John Spartan is as blatantly obvious as Schwarzenegger with a Russian accent and Raw Deal. The man has zero chill and couth. I'll save my rest of my points for my second round because that's how good I am.
Well, bold move and a fantastic impression. Ray, it's time for your point number one. 3 minutes on the clock, and your time starts now.
No, I'm glad that you spent 45 seconds of your 3 minutes, Kevin, doing a walk-on like it's a WWE show and you're headed to the ring, and then you pranced around like the Ultimate Warrior and then didn't even use your whole time. I've got this in the bag faster than you could say Caddyshack sucks. First off, my point number one is going to be that John Spartan is a super cop. It's not an undercover cop. I agree that if this was a battle of deception in the form of breaking into somewhere where people don't really care about their jobs as security, that Burton is phenomenal walking in, pretending to be on the phone, whatever he's doing. You know who also did that really great? Kathy Bates in the pilot of the new Matlock show. Wow, what a comparison. But we're talking about John Spartan, who went underground under the city, dressed in full cop gear, and nobody messed with him because they're terrified of him because he is a super cop. He was not just a police officer. He was a fully trained, top-of-his-class cop in a 1996 Los Angeles hellscape. Looked very different than the Los Angeles I know right now. Why? Well, honestly, not really. It looks kind of the same depending on what parts you go to. The point is, in this 1996, police were afraid to go into Los Angeles where Simon Phoenix had abducted a municipal bus full of 30 people, killed them, hid them under the floorboards, so when the building collapsed, which he set, he could take John Spartan down with him. The end of all of this is it doesn't matter. John Spartan still got the job done, still took out Simon Phoenix, even though he did get tricked in the end. How could he have seen that coming? He used the scanner for heat, but they were already dead. He should have figured that out in the moment, quite honestly. But he's a violent man. He doesn't need to figure stuff out. He's not afraid of violence. This is a guy who was handed a stun rod from the future, and he says, I wonder if this works. Walks by a rando on the street, taps him on the neck and knocks him unconscious, and then just keeps on walking. He's not afraid to hit people. Meanwhile, Jack Burton shoots the ceiling at the beginning of a fight scene and knocks himself unconscious. It was hilarious, but not the man I want on my side during a fight. That movie's not even about Jack Burton. That movie's about Wang, his partner, and his whole deal, and Jack Burton's the helper. He's the NPC along the way. We just follow Kurt Russell because he's Kurt Russell and it's John Carpenter. It is
30 seconds remaining.
Look, John Spartan beat down a group of graffiti thugs outside of Taco Bell. He shot out Simon Phoenix's tires while he was driving. And he did the John Woo dive, which I'll be honest, did feel a little gratuitous, but in this case was completely earned. And as far as physicals go, this is a guy who took a Simon Phoenix absolute butt kicking at the end of his fight, was able to still win. That's a true champion.
All right, Kevin, you have 1 minute to add your counterpoint. 1 minute on the clock and time starts now.
Well, I'm a reasonable man, but I've heard some very unreasonable things. Are we really going to John Spartan a better look? He is Dan Campbell in a china shop. Just blow some. There you go. I knew I'd hit Ray right in the solar plexus with that one.
How dare you?
Just because it's true. Spartan just blows things up with zero remorse, zero tactical nature. He eats rat burgers, for Christ's sakes, like Eagle fans eat horse after winning a Super Bowl. The man, zero couth. And his daughter. Oh, how cute. We didn't do a 23andMe, but we know damn good and well that he's Papa John Phillipsing that as we speak. Look, he might as well just grow out a He-Man haircut and then change his last name to Turpin. Okay, that's the story. Jack Burton is a little silly. We admit that. But God, he took out two gods in 30 seconds. Two in 30 seconds. One man, hour and 45 minutes to chase around, traipse around. If there's things people piss out of him, God's done.
Please, if John Spartan is Dan Campbell, I'm going to tell you right now, Jack Burton is Urban Meyer at a singles bar.
All right, save it. Save it for your wrap up there. All right, good start. Good start, guys. Jack Burton, obviously, yeah, he took on monsters, took on gods. There's something there for sure. They shook the pillars of heaven. But as Ray said, kind of more often than not is, in fact, Wang Chi's story. And Jack does kind of just stumble through it by, you know, the skin of his teeth with just some lucky things here and there. Spartan, obviously a man of training, a man of technology. It's a lot to go on so far. Let's keep it up when we come back from this ad.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
All right, it's time for round two. Kevin, you'll start us off with your second point. 3 minutes on the clock, starting now.
Let's talk about final battles. Jack Burton catches a knife barehanded and throws it with pinpoint accuracy into a head of a god, kills him. Super large pinky Coke fingernail and all. One shot, done. Jack Burton, way better than Spartan, because Spartan takes a beating in the final act. Oh, I forgot to mention, Jack Burton also decides to get someone so angry that he killed his boss, he just sucks in and holds his breath until he explodes, much like a petulant three-year-old. He also throws a statue down on a lightning god. That's pretty badass. And how does the big bad John Spartan win his battle? He kicks a frozen head off. Isn't that cute? 0 style points, John Spartan. 0. And the ending, too. Let's talk about that. John Spartan goes back to probably make love to his daughter. Didn't want to touch her, but now he's going to touch her. How does Jack Burton leave? He tells that tease Kim Cattrall, thanks, but no thanks. I'm going to say goodbye to my friend and peace on out of here. All right? Look, by the way, Ray, you stole my joke about 1996 Los Angeles. There is as much crime then as there is now, and it's just as bad. John Spartan, let's talk about the aesthetics. Just like the French, I don't respect anyone who wears a beret, okay? Let's get that out there. Ray, I'm also surprised you chose John Spartan. You have more of Associate Bob vibes than John Spartan vibes. Let's put it like that. Oh, other people who wore a beret, famously. Jean-Claude Van Damme in Street Fighter. How did that turn out? Okay. Hey, how did John Spartan go down? He went down like Han Solo and Carbonite, but you know, without the fun, without the flair, without the drama, without a cool little quip. He went down beating on the glass like a caged little rat. Han Solo, at least, said, I know, and then was frozen to death. Jack Burton's style points far trump John Spartan's style points. It's not even close. Not even close. Without the carnage, with leaving at least an entire city leveled. We don't need to have that. As one girl, the reporter asked the girl, why did you have to blow up a $7 million mall for one girl for $25,000?
30 seconds remaining.
You know, Jack just kept his damage to a small contained area of Chinatown and was culturally responsible for those people instead of destroying businesses and lives and all that good stuff. You're welcome, world. Signed, Jack Burton, me.
All right, Ray, time for your point number two. 3 minutes on the clock, starting now.
I'm honestly, when I went into Big Trouble in Little China last night, I was honestly expecting the worst as far as cultural sensitivity goes, and got something I was honestly kind of happy with at the end of it. I mean, it was normal 1980s stuff, but they didn't go out. They tried to be respectful of the culture, and I did appreciate that. You know who was cool who wore a beret? Flint from G.I. Joe. And I need say nothing more. He's on my shirt even as I speak. And Kevin, I hear you taking these pot shots. Sandra Bullock was not his daughter. Absolutely not his daughter, you know, because he knew his daughter and she didn't know him like that. There was actually deleted scenes. And it's so weird that they left the first part in and not the second part, where he meets his daughter and that she ends up getting together with Edgar Friendly, Dennis Leary, at the end of the movie. And they cut all of that because they didn't want the movie to balloon over 2 hours. But I think everyone assumes what you're saying because they didn't put it in, which makes the movie a little bit weird. Anyway, we're going to talk about the physicals of John Spartan. He's easily peak human. There's plenty of glances and comments from everybody around him, constantly staring at his butt, constantly staring at his muscles, wanting to touch him, but you don't touch people in this culture. I kind of like this culture a lot, if I'm just going to be honest with you. The fact that he's able to hang with Simon Phoenix physically, despite the fact that Simon Phoenix had those Venture Brothers beds that implanted a whole bunch of combat knowledge and other stuff in his head. He's over here fighting kung fu stuff that he doesn't know how to use at the beginning of the movie. And all of a sudden, he's like Bruce Lee out here with super strength. And John Spartan can hang with him. There's a reason he gets his butt kicked at the end of the movie and has to figure it out as he's getting punched. Something Peter McNeely couldn't do. I'll tell you that right now. He's got to get the win at the end of it, despite how many times you're getting hit. Simon Phoenix, multiple times in this movie, grabs somebody with like one hand. At one point, he yoinks the guy out of a car through the windshield. A second time, he asks somebody what his boggle is and throws him through a bulletproof glass in an armory museum. That's outrageous, the strength he has. Of course, John Spartan's going to struggle with that. We're not going to pretend like Jack Burton didn't struggle with the gods he was fighting. You know, and they were pretty good. Let's keep it real. I like that movie. John Spartan physically put Simon Phoenix on his shoulders, ran through an exploding building, jumped out the second floor, and somehow they both survived.
30 seconds remaining.
He dodged gunfire multiple times, including the underground when he got ambushed from above. Not a place you want to be shot from is people on a catwalk. And also inside the Hall of Violence armory, Simon Phoenix, with gun training put in his head through cryosleep, absolutely did not hit him a single time. I don't remember him getting shot a single time in this movie. And there are 9 billion bullets that get shot. Look, he also dodged the future lightning gun in the finale, but I'm out of time.
All right, Kevin, you have 1 minute on the clock for your counterpoint, starting now.
Well, you know, old Kevin Goatee always says at a time like this, you know, Ray, you brought up cultural sensitivity. Who cares about all that? Except for your boy, Simon Phoenix, going ching, chong, 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 ching, ching, ching in the middle of the museum.
It was not a good
look. Yeah.
I wasn't expecting, this won't be your time. I was not expecting Demolition Man to be less culturally sensitive than Big Trouble in Little China.
Well, and also, let's not forget, Jack Burton took out a Beast Man from He-Man, in a sense, as well. So let's add that to the body count. Again, Simon Phoenix, one person, and a bunch of homeless people and homeless encampments along the 101 versus a god, a gang, street gang of army. And again, Jack Burton just dispatches some with some technical prowess. Not much, but enough to get the job done. And, you know, he always knows what Kevin Goatee says at a time like this. Ray is going to lose.
All right, that was a good round. I did not expect it to be so much about style and cultural sensitivity, which seems like a totally different podcast, but here we are, and we'll be right back for round 3 after this break. All right, it's time for round 3, starting us off yet again. Kevin, this is the final round. You have 3 minutes on the clock. Let's hear what you've got for point number 3.
Well, here's where I take Ray and rub his face in the 3 seashells. Okay, I'm just going to keep you can't keep dishing these out to me. They're just too damn easy. I remember points about the berets. Thank you. How are we supposed to take John Spartan seriously when he's wearing a beret and, oh, I forgot, crocheting. That's what all action heroes do. Crochet in their spare time. What does Jack Burton do? Drink, hang out with buddies, win money. That's life. That's crocheting and wearing a beret. You know, is this more of a Seth Rogen, Evan Goldberg kind of film? Probably, but no. Look, John Spartan, he's a tough dude. But you know what? In the end, he doesn't have the flair. Doesn't have the panache. Was Ric Flair the most technical wrestler out there? No. But dude knew how to make an entrance. And that's what Jack Burton does. He wins just like a multi-time champion WWF superstar. But look, Jack Burton closes out the deal. He gets the girl and then says, I'm good. And that's it. Simon Phoenix, good villain. What's his main, what's his main thing? Strength, because it was added in there as part of the program. And oh, that's cool. He has two different color eyes, like Max Scherzer, the pitcher of the Tigers, was a former Tiger. There you go. That's a real superhero? No, I don't think so. Well, kids, look, bottom line is this. And it's because I ran out of material. This is the way it's going to close out. Jack Burton, way more wily, beat four gods, including one fatality to a Shang Tsung lookalike. By the way, that's another deep video game reference pull. Not that deep, really. It's pretty shallow, but obvious, I thought, as well. Four gods, one beast man, and a bunch of bad dudes, like the game, bad dudes. But instead of throwing nunchucks and stars and picking up soda and jumping on 16 rig-wheelers, this was a lot more of a fun romp. Demolition Man, you ever play that game for Super Nintendo? Yeah, it's not that good. But Jack Burton is Jack Burton for the win. Calling it there.
All right, Ray, it is time for your final point. You have 3 minutes on the clock, starting now.
Okay, well, you know, I love it when my opponents in this don't use all their time, because I'm just going to bludgeon them about the head and shoulders a little bit more. It's a little bit like throwing in the towel. It's a little bit like a no mas situation. It's a little bit like Matt Hasselbeck saying, we're going to get the ball and we're going to score. None of it's going to happen. It's not a good look in any way. Look, I appreciate Ric Flair making an entrance. You know, King Mabel made some entrances back in the day. But at the end of the day, you also got to be able to work once you got to the ring. And Jack Burton kind of wrestles around. If you throw a knife at him, that's a bad move. That's not something that John Spartan is going to do. John Spartan's going to out-hustle, out-physical, and out-determine a guy like Jack Burton. Why? Because John Spartan is a very quick thinker. And I noticed this while watching the movie, trying to figure out the points. I can appreciate that Lopan got stuck because he threw a knife at Jack Burton and got it returned to him very, very fast. It was a very impressive moment. It was the singular impressive physical moment of the entire movie for Mr. Jack Burton, who typically is knocking himself unconscious or rolling around on the ground till somebody bails him out. A lot of getting bailed out in this movie by Mr. Jack Burton. But John Spartan repeatedly shows quick thinking in a situation to get what he wants. Examples, the three seashells. You brought it up before. I don't know how to use them. Apparently the director said you use two of them like chopsticks to reach in there and pull it out, and then the third one to scrape what's left. I think that's gross. That can't be right. But that's what the director seems to think. Well, John Spartan didn't want to do that. So he cursed into the ticket meter a whole bunch of times to give himself some paper so he could wipe his butt. Love that. He also shot out the light above Simon Phoenix in order to take out the glass floor underneath him, because he knew he didn't have a positional advantage over Simon Phoenix. So he used the environment to his will. And let's not forget, Simon Phoenix had a mob that included Jesse the Body Ventura. And when the governor of Minnesota gets involved, you know some bodies are going to hit the floor, including that guy who was wearing a muumuu. The other one wearing a muumuu, who got thrown into the fireplace by Jesse Ventura. What a death scene in a movie. Anyway, he was fighting the homeless people, though. And he dropped a tent on a mob of them because he didn't want to fight like 17 people at once. Again, uses his head, uses the environment to his advantage. He picked up a table and used it as a shield remaining, like Captain America, when ambushed from the catwalks from above. Very smart. And then the final fight scene, of course. He got caught in the crane, grabbed that hose, froze it to break himself out of it. Jack Burton's not getting out of that situation. I'm terribly sorry. Jack Burton is stuck in there until Wang lets him out.
But he not just that, he's fighting Simon Phoenix. He has to jump on the crane to escape after freezing him. And yes, kicked his head off in an effect I haven't seen so effective since Jason Voorhees did it in Jason X.
Whew. I like how a Jason X reference makes its way in this conversation and just totally destroys just any modicum of gentlemanly discussion of top scholastic films.
You know, well, before you do your final counterpoint, I do want to say the two things about Demolition Man. One of them I knew, the other I didn't. One, a very young, early in his career, Jack Black is one of Dennis Leary's henchmen.
I saw that.
In the one scene. But one of the stunt performers I noticed this time for the first time was Mr. Kane Hodder, who played Jason Voorhees in Jason X.
Oh, nice.
So there you go. Jason is in there somewhere crushing fools.
Cool. All right. Kevin, it is time for your very last counterpoint. You have 1 minute on the clock, starting now.
This is the 90s where films were still films, but unfortunately, a lot of the times, they take title of the film and throw it into a song for the soundtrack. Demolition Man by Sting, excuse me. Awful. John Spartan, you want to talk about how he shot stuff up? Ray, he has the marksmanship of stormtroopers, for Christ's sakes. He couldn't hit the side of the barn with a shotgun. Who are we kidding? And this uncouth just couldn't go to Taco Bell and shut the hell up while listening to the sweet, sweet dulcet tones of Dan Cortez from Real Sports and MTV. Are we supposed to take this seriously? And then instead, he just mouths off like some kind of welfare 8 Mile trailer park liver in Michigan. Yeah, I said it. That's what John Spartan is. It's like bringing someone to, you know, it's like trying someone showing up in sweatpants and a sweatshirt with the Detroit Tigers logo on it to the front row of a Broadway play. That's what John Spartan is. All right. And how good of an action hero is he?
All right. He finally got cut off. He decided to save it all for that last moment. But this is now Ray's final words. So, Ray, it is up to you to run this out.
Yeah, I'm giving Kevin plenty of time to run his mouth, and all I'm getting is a motorboat on the river. But it's not going anywhere. This is like an infinity pool. That's all I'm trying to say. Kevin, you have a great character, but you have a great character who did a lot of running away and a lot of hiding and a lot of trying to convince people not to fight him in his own movie. John Spartan spends the entire movie wishing people would fight him. He was sitting there at Taco Bell, having the fancy Taco Bell dinner, making fun of it. And as soon as anything happens at all outside, he runs out there trying to hurt people. That's the difference between these two characters. Jack Burton is just trying to get his truck back, hopefully getting the future wife of his best friend, I guess best friend. Jack Burton doesn't really have friends, but guy he gambles with sometimes. Kevin, you get it. And he's just trying to get that wife back. And that's it. He's got really no personal stakes in this at all, except trying to make $1,136 or something.
Times three.
Did I get that number?
Yeah, you did.
Man, that's pretty good. Yeah.
He earned it.
He's trying to get that money back, which, you know, in 1986, that is a reasonable amount of money. I can understand why to get it, especially when you're broke. Trust me on that. The point I'm trying to make, though, is that Jack Burton doesn't want to be there. Jack Burton has a sense of obligation because he wants to get paid off. John Spartan needs to take in Simon Phoenix to get his life back, to literally not go back to frozen prison. And John Spartan blows everything up around him and takes out everybody that he needs to. He doesn't have to rely on somebody having a head explosion like he's in Scanners in order to take himself out. Although I did love that visual effect. I'm going to cut it off there. I believe this battle is over. 1, 2, 3. Or did you tap to my figure 4 leg lock?
Wow. Well, I'm hoping that Sam sees the 6 demon bag that I threw on Ray Stecanus and says that's a better argument and especially more entertaining.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen. You have both given me a lot to work with. This was, you know, going into it, an amazingly close matchup to start. As I said, I am a super fan of Big Trouble in Little China. I have never seen Demolition Man, unfortunately. I'm sorry.
What?
I will take that. I will go and rectify
How?
That. However, it does not change my opinion of the events. We have, in one side, John Spartan, who is clearly a man of violence and anger, and if they were giving out awards for the biggest muscles and rubbernecking of those muscles, Spartan clearly takes that award. Jack Burton, however, is a clear winner when it comes to style, epic quotes, and cultural sensitivity. Who knew? Jack Burton wins at being Jack Burton. However, when it comes to winning a physical fight, one man stands tall over the other. Our winner today took on not just one, but many criminals with kung fu. He survived a cryo prison and an enhanced enemy, and I am talking about John Spartan. Congratulations, Ray.
Of course I deserve it. Of course John Spartan deserves it. But of course, Sam, you are but one voice. Am I incorrect?
That is true. I am just one voice. So we have to take this and give it off to our humble viewers for their opinions, who can weigh in on this on our social media and over on our Patreon at patreon.com/whowouldwinshow. Kevin, sorry for serving up the L on that. Where can the people find you?
Well, the people can find me torching your house in anger because you have not seen Demolition Man. That's a judge call here if you've not even seen the film, for Christ's sakes. This is a real problem. This is blatant bias. I refuse to be part of this shenanigans any longer. God, Ray, where do you find these tomato can judges in this neck of the woods? Never saw Demolition Man. I was
like
their opening
the opposite
weekend,
of
for
bias.
Christ's
sake. You can My find- argument was so strong, he didn't even need to see the property to know right. that I pulled down this win. Are you kidding me right now?
No. You can find me at nomumsters.com, where you can find shirts like, if you're looking at the video, like this. That's right. Mumsters.
So can
What's
you
a
tell
mumster,
me
guys?
What a mumpster is?
I'd be glad to.
Or can we not
to.
Talk about it on a classy
no,
show like
no,
this?
No, no, no. We can. Mumpsters are people, ugly people who are thinking that they're better looking than they are. Also for people who think they're attractive in a horrible, horrible town. Like, for example, a Detroit 8 is not an 8 in LA or New York or Miami. A Detroit 8 would be like a New York or LA 4 or 5. That, my friend, is a mumpster. Mumpsters are rampant. We are not a fan of mumpsters. My friends and I, we had this whole little discussion when we were out and we saw a bunch of ugly people having this conversation. They're thinking they're all hot, but they're just, you know, again, check out nomumsters.com. You'll see the definition on the back of the shirt, on the front of the shirt. You can also see shirts, designs like, hey, you're not a New York 8, you're an Omaha 4. Stuff like that. These shirts are for wise-ass stuff, or the ones that say, yes, I'll be your side piece. Wise-ass fun stuff. Reach out to nomumsters@gmail.com to order your shirts. I'm working on the website. It's not done yet, so please. I understand I'm one man and I don't know tech, so we're working on the website. Nomumsters.com, nomumsters@gmail.com, nomumsters on Facebook, TikTok, Instagram. And again, you can see all the shirts we have on the website to order. Just email me, tell me your shirt size, color, all that good stuff at nomumsters@gmail.com. And of course, at Kevin Goatee on all the socials, and you can still listen to the defunct but still awesome Gutting the Sacred Cow podcast.
So all I right. feel like maybe I should feel called out by that, but like I'm a Detroit 6.5 and an LA like 3.5. I get the 0.5 for being tall.
I think you need to put a conversion rate calculator on your website.
You
so
know
you
what?
Select a city and the rating and then the
That's
outgoing
money.
City. Yeah, there you go. The
website does outline different examples such like that.
That is golden.
Thank you so much again for joining us, Kevin. And Ray, congratulations on yet another win.
Well, you know, it's a win, sure. I should win every week. Let's just keep it real. But really, you are but one voice, as you like to say.
Fair.
And
That's
the
fair.
People at home will get a chance to kick in. If the people at home do feel like Kevin had some great points that he made, I doubt it.
They can overturn
me. I feel
me.
Like Kevin really, really brought the heat. Kevin, he did bring the heat. The problem was it was more like a hibachi than it was like a campfire. You know what I'm saying? Like he's going to get a couple shrimp and throw one in his hat maybe, but he's not going to win a fight at the end of the day. Please, what are we even talking about here? But you can go on all the Facebooks, the threads, the Instagrams. We don't go on that other site. You know the one, Blue Sky. I'm, of course, also talking about patreon.com/whowouldwinshow. We're going to compile all of the feedback from the people. You can find us on YouTube as well. These are all going to be going up on YouTube. Wow. How about that? And find that stuff and then turn it around and let us know. Next week, I'll be back, and I'm going to go through all of your comments, all of your polls, and we're going to find out once and for all what did the people think, because this show should not just be about one person's decision.
That's true. And yeah, if you think you've got what it takes to be a part of the Who Would Win Masters show, record a 1-minute demo of yourself and send it to whowouldwinshow@gmail.com. And who knows, maybe next time you'll be the one in the challenger's chair. For Who Would Win Masters, this is Sam Proof on all the socials. Stay strong.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Sup, everyone. Brian here, host of the TV and Movie Trivia Podcast. It's a trivia-style podcast focusing on TV and movies. Listen in for questions like, what's the name of Michael Scott's screenplay? What do you say to view the Marauder's map? What are Tony Stark's last words to Thanos in Avengers Endgame? And where does Ron Burgundy say he is when he calls the news station sobbing from a phone booth? I've covered The Office, Harry Potter, Marvel, Will Ferrell movies, Lord of the Rings, and more, with even more on the way. So play along to the TV and Movie Trivia Podcast anywhere you get podcasts, and stay tuned for more trivia.
Are you a geek who likes sports?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are, we hope it is good. Welcome to another edition of Geeks Who Like Sports. The Yankees really kind of mailed it in. She's the Goblin Queen. Like, yeah. It's legit. Football 101. Take what the defense gives you.
The NBA All-Star Game is fake. The Emperor would absolutely throw Vader under the bus.
Listen or watch Geeks Who Like Sports on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts.